if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com, and today we'll do the July 2023 regulatory update. But before to start, I just wanted to introduce you our sponsor, MedBoard. So who is MedBoard?
MedBoard, the regulatory research and intelligence platform, is focused on solving the problem with increasing news and data and new requirements as regulatory intelligence, post-market surveillance, clinical literature review, and many more. We are making trusted medtech information and data more accessible, creating the largest information portal search and the best tools for review, intelligence, and portfolio management. We are already changing people's lives like you by reducing tedious manual and repetitive work or saving much time. Contact us at medboard.com to learn more about us and do a free trial.
Okay, first topic of today is about the extension of the UMDR, which is now also applicable to the Annex 16 products. On the previous note, we talked about the timeline for the execution of the Annex 16 products, but it was not aligned now with what was decided with the EU MDR extension. So now there is the new vote that was issued to extend also the Annex 16 products. So there are new timelines, so I cannot summarize everything here, but there is new changes where before you had to go until 2025 or 2026. Now you can go until 2029. So it's nearly a bit more than the UMDR. You have to look at the changes that are happening on the different articles where they are substituting the dates inside. So go directly on the show notes and you will see the exact places where the substitution will be happening. For example, for a product that is not a medical device actually, and that will become a medical device under the Annex 16 of the EU MDR. You had normally before September to get a notified body agreement contract. Now there are some changes on the text and they are saying that you have to wait a bit more. I will just let you discover the date directly on the proposal, on the vote, on the new text with the substitution that was made directly. So you see that, yeah, there are a lot of changes. Everything is now moved. There is kind of a domino. One is pushed and all the others are also aligning. So you have to revisit or recreate all your timelines again to understand what's the situation now. On software, so we have a document issued by the ENISA from the European Union about cybersecurity and privacy in AI. What we are discovering or what we are reading on this document is mainly that cybersecurity and privacy are kind of changing, or there are more risks due to artificial intelligence. So now the idea is more about understanding what are threats due to artificial intelligence. Inside there are mainly discussion about some cases, specifically for example for medical imaging. So they are providing some cases and what how you have to address some of the issues that they are identifying. They are giving you some models also, cybersecurity threats also. So if your software, or if you have a software as a medical device that is using artificial intelligence, for example, for imaging, for image processing, or to detect a fracture or whatever, then you have to understand mainly what are the additional risks that you have to address within the risk management, and this document will help you to identify that. In France, the ANSM is asking you now, when you are submitting a field safety notice, to also publish the barcode for your devices. What was discovered is that some pharmacies, for example, they receive those field safety notice, FSN, and they are still not able, with the information provided, to detect which product they should maybe recall or do some actions on them. So the idea here is of this document, of these new requirements, only for France, I don't know if the other countries will also ask that, is to include the barcode of your product, which is normally now also the UDI code, so which contains inside the lot number, the expiration date, the manufacturing date, for or serial number for your product. So this will be more helpful for the pharmacist or healthcare professional in general to really identify if this is really the right product that we are talking about, instead of trying to recall more products than needed. So they are asking now the manufacturers to include those information. But I think it's a good idea, and this should be also included for any other field safety notice. I suppose manufacturers can do it voluntarily, but here in France it's kind of asked to be done as a mandatory action also. So you can go on the show notes to check the French and also English version of the document, where it's providing all the details, because it's not only the barcode, they are also asking a lot of other details. I mean, some other details that are normal, like the list of lot numbers, etc. But yeah, you can go and check that directly on the show notes. So the EMPS, so Spanish authorities, are providing some information for clinical trials that are involving some medicine and also medical devices without CE marking, or with CE marking but used for another intended purpose. So we have a lot of customers actually that are in the medicine field, that are having those clinical trials ongoing, and they are all asking, okay, my product is not CE marked, what should I do? Is there any requirements? Will my result be kind of not accepted by the authorities if I don't have a CE mark, etc. inside? So in the website of the Spanish authorities, they are telling you mainly that you have to do a parallel submission, one for the medicine and one for the medical device, that is explaining what you will be doing for each of them, the fact that it's not CE marked also, etc., etc. So go also on the website to check just the procedure. The thing is that this is the procedure for the Spanish authority. If you maybe go to another country, there will be a different procedure to follow. So don't look at that as a general rule for Europe. It's a rule that is only applicable for Spain, and you have then now to go to each website one by one to verify what are the rules for other countries. But this demand in terms of medicine and medical device clinical trials is really expanding. I mean, there are a lot of customers that are starting to ask us about that. So I think it's important to understand what is the process, and the fact that even if you are a medicine company, if you are using a medical device, you have to inform the authorities. You have to mention that on your protocol, so that everybody is informed that you are using this kind of device also. Okay, in Switzerland now, so medicinal products or combination products with the drugs. So how is it working for the case where there is a change, if I can say, on those products that are already on the market? Do you need to submit a variation for the medicinal products or not? So here it's answered within this post made by Swissmedic, which is saying mainly that if your medicinal or medical device has received a new EU MDR certificate, for example, there is no need specifically to make a variation. But if there is any significant change or issue of a certificate due to a significant change of your products, then yes, you have to do a variation. So if you are asking yourself, should I submit a variation or not, there are some of the answers that are mentioned inside. And even if you have some changes and you want to submit something, there is also the recommendation to submit a type 1A variation for it. So don't hesitate to look at this post, just maybe to understand the process, because maybe it's not happening now for you, but maybe it will happen in the future. So yeah, if there is no major changes, no need of variation, but if there is a major change, you need to submit a variation for it. Okay, we talked about that in a previous podcast, but we'll talk about that again today. Mainly, we have the extension of the UK legislation for UKCA, because normally by the 1st of July, so by now, every medical device should now follow the UKCA legislation. But as we had some kind of changes in the legislation for the UK, and also that the EU is now extending the timeline for their products, so the UK also decided to say, okay, let's move that out. So until 2030, if I remember on the timeline, so I will show you the links mainly with the timelines. So this is something that is really important to understand. And as we said, we'll talk about that later, but we have made also a podcast episode talking about the UKCA extension and maybe the question that everybody's asking, should I move to UKCA now or should I wait? So this will answer during our podcast also. So don't hesitate to look at that with Alex Denon. Okay, you are maybe looking for an EQMS, so electronic quality management system. This is a system, a platform that is used to manage your documentation. So mainly having a document that is signed electronically, approved, and that is has an history like an audit trail that you can show to notify to everybody. So we are working with our SQL technologies on a EQMS called SmartEye. So this EQMS is providing some modules like design control, where you can create your DHF, your DMR, your dossier, everything for any project or any product that you have, also for software or for hardware. There is also a module for quality management systems, of the creation of your procedures, quality manual, quality policy, all the documentation that you are using for your quality management system, plus also places to record all the information that you are creating so that you can show evidence that you are following those procedures. Also some modules like non-conformity, compliance, Kappa, where you can analyze any issues that are coming to your company. Modules like supplier management, where you can manage your supplier, or training also. Any documents that you are creating, you can send them for training to your employees. So this is a complete system where you can manage a lot of documentation inside. So don't hesitate to go to the show notes, and then you'll have the contact details or the website where you can look for a demo. Don't hesitate, and maybe the demo will be done even by me. So don't hesitate to look at that. We have multiple people that are now using SmartEye. So it means that it was already used by companies that are even going through some certification successfully. So this is mainly the reason why now we are ready to expand to everybody that this product is really available for your use, and also for your success within your certification. Okay, USA now. So we have there is a new guidance that was issued for the pre-market notification, which is the 510K for software devices. So usually we have pre-market notification for a 510K for every product. Now they are specifically doing something for software to explain to you how you have to create your dossier for a software as medical devices. What is interesting also with the FDA is that they have created this guidance that is explaining all the different steps and all the content, but they are also planning a webinar on July 20th, if I remember. Yeah, July 20th, 2023, at 1 p.m. East. So this is the webinar specifically for also this topic. So they submitted the guidance. Now they have the webinar. So if you are a software company, if you are planning to register your products in the US, then this is really the webinar that you have to look at, because mainly it will explain to you exactly how your dossier should be built and how then you can be able to register your device in the US. Now, Australia. Australia is providing new guidance, which is the use of market authorization evidence from comparable overseas regulators. So mainly, what they are saying is that you can use registration that you have already done within other countries like Europe, like Canada, so like FDA also that you have done. So to prove that you have already passed some of those audits with all those requirements, and then it could be an evidence that there is no need anymore to provide additional audit or additional information. So there is a full guide that is explained to you with a lot of cases which document can be used for reducing the timeline and also accelerating your application. There is a big table on the document where there is a lot of cases, and each case shows you what are the different documents. So don't hesitate to go there and to check it. But it's great information from Australia to TGA, because then it means also that all the efforts that you are putting now on the EU certification or FDA certification or any of those can be reused for the application within Australia, within TGA. So this is really a great news. So don't hesitate to look at that if you are planning to register your devices in Australia. Okay, now Malaysia. Malaysia is also, we talked before about the extension of the EU MDR. Malaysia is now taking this information about the extension of EU MDR. They understand and they inform that they understand the situation, and maybe that there are some certificate, MDD certificate, that will already be expired. So they accept expired certificates, but they are also asking you additional information. Like other countries, we talked I think last time about Egypt, now it's the same for Malaysia. They're asking you to provide a letter from the authority and or a letter from a notified body with a saying that they are, you are compliant, or a letter from who else again, or also the audit report, an audit report that you have passed, and maybe if your certificate is not still not issued, a letter from the notified body saying that yeah, there is a delay in the issuance of the MDR certificate. So they are giving you a lot of options, but apparently you have to provide an official letter from somebody showing that you are on the right track. So don't hesitate to get this letter anyway for any other country, because every country will ask you the same letter. Then you can use that to continue the registration or the re-registration of your products in the different countries, like Malaysia for this time. So don't hesitate to go to the show notes. You'll have the short announcement and also all those requirements that I mentioned to you now. As usual, in Saudi Arabia, we have those webinars that they are creating, which are really great. So thank you for the authorities. So this time we have a webinar that will be happening on July 11th at 10 a.m. Saudi time. So this will be about artificial intelligence and software based on medical devices. So you see that the topic of artificial intelligence is really taken by everyone. Even UK is talking a lot about that, USA, now Europe, and now SFDA, so Saudi. So then it's really a topic that you have really to understand. And maybe you can see some differences between some countries. So it's important to understand them and understand what are the requirements. So take the one that has most of the requirements, and if you pass this one, you should pass all the others. So look at that specifically. The second webinar is about introducing the rules for classifying the risk of medical devices. So this is the one that will be happening on July 24th at 1 p.m. Saudi time. So don't hesitate also to go to the show notes. As I've said, each time you arrive to the page, there is just a small line below the image, which says click here. And when it will be the time, you click here, and then it will open the webinar and it will start immediately, I suppose. So don't hesitate to go there and to check. Okay, Easy Medical Device is also providing you some services like authorized representatives. So we are authorized representative in Europe, in UK, and in Switzerland. So don't hesitate to contact us if you need any services as an authorized representative. So within one roof, within one company, you can register or you can sell your products all over Europe, UK, and Switzerland. So it was the same situation as before the Brexit and Swixit, because before you needed only one authorized representative to represent you in all those regions. Now you need three. So we are taking this advantage to say, okay, we are one company that have offices in Europe, in Switzerland, and in the UK. So then we can help you for that. So don't hesitate to go to easymedicaldevice.com. There is a section service, and there is the three regions. So if you need a service for all those three regions, also contact us with any of those emails and tell us that you need for all those regions, and we will be able to help you on that. Okay, now podcast nostalgia. So which podcast we had in June? So we had the first podcast with Florian Talkmeet, which was The Great Misunderstanding. So this is the podcast where we talked about some misunderstanding that people had about the EU MDR extension when they are thinking, oh, we have more time, but where we told them that no, you don't have more time. It's more for notified bodies that have now more time to assess or to give you certification. So it's something that we are trying to really to make people understand. So don't hesitate to go to this podcast to listen to it again or many times, because as I've said, there are a lot of information that you have really to understand and to avoid some situation and maybe alerting your management to say, oh, we have more time so we can spend our time in something else. No, try to continue what you are doing on EUMDR, because mainly everybody will think the same and will say, okay, let's do it at the last moment, which is not the case. Remember that you have to have an agreement with the notified body before September 2024, and the application should be done before the 26th of May 2024. So you have no time. You have 1 year to finalize all that. And then after that, you'll have a negotiation with notified body to know when they can audit you. Next one is how to connect software development teams and quality and regulatory affairs teams. So this is with Christophe Girardet from Vega. We talked mainly about the fact that we have some disconnection sometimes with the different teams. We have the developers that are developing software and developing all those things, and we have the quality and regulatory affairs team that needs some evidence that the software was developed correctly, with a life cycle, with a risk, with all those things. So then there are sometimes some disconnection between those. So we are giving you some advices on how you can still keep your teams connected, how they can help you to be compliant and to not to avoid any mistake during any audit. So don't hesitate to look at this podcast. Then episode 238, which is the episode we talked before with Alex Dinon, where we talked about the UK CA extension. As I've told you, normally before the 30th of June, the UK had announced that they will be extending the UKCA. Initially, they said 1 year, so 2024. But as there was some changes with the EUMDR, then they extended until 2030 for some of the products. So Alex Denon will explain to us mainly all the in and out of the UKCA, the story also of the UKCA, and also give you some advices on should you follow UKCA now or should you wait, what they advise, because they are lawyers, so what they are advising their customers, etc. So it will be really a great episode if you are going to the UK and understanding what's the situation there. Okay, it's the end. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode for the July 2023 update. If you need any support for your regulatory update specific for your company, don't hesitate also to contact Easy Medical Device. We are a consulting firm, so we can help you for anything related to quality and regulatory affairs for medical devices, clinical evaluation report, technical documentation, quality management system creation, post-market surveillance if you need, regulatory update, or if even you need some back office service where we can provide you some people to do the tasks that maybe you don't want to do because they are repetitive and boring, don't hesitate to contact us. I have people that can help you also for that. So thank you for your support, and I hope this episode helped you to understand more about what is happening within the medical device regulation. Thank you, and I wish you a nice day.
Thanks for listening. So if you like this episode, please provide a review on the platform where you are listening to it. And also don't forget to share it with your colleagues. Thank you very much.